Ask Shelly. Ask Shelly. This is the part of the show where you email questions to Shelly that you would never ask her to her face. All right, so let's ask Shelly.
That's right. It's time for Ask Shelly. We do it every Monday at right around this time. You send your questions over to Shelly at FM99.com. And she answers them in this forthcoming segment. By the way, somebody texted you a question. I'll get it to you after the... want to know why we call it cocktailing.
Oh, nice.
What's that got
okay.
to do with drinks? Good question. Dear Shelly, I could ask Siri this, but how did Siri get her name? I'm asking Shelly how Siri got her name, and I'll ask Siri how Shelly got her name. Signed, Daniel.
According to an interview with one of the Apple guys who was with Apple as a startup, when they were coming up with Siri's name, we wanted something that was easy to remember, short to type, comfortable to pronounce, and a not too common human name. We wanted to be able to get the domain name for real cheap, too. Everybody over at Apple has their own explanation from where Siri came from. Like,
sure.
Dag Kittlaus, their Norwegian-American CEO, said that he was going to use Siri as the name of his child, like the Norse meaning, beautiful woman who leads you to victory. Another Apple guy said it means secret in Swahili, which is a tip of the hat to their pre-name days when it was a stealth company.
Mm-hmm.
Another said it was the reverse of Iris, which is a software system built as part of the Kalo project, which Siri spun out of. Some mm-hmm. people like the resemblance to SRI, which is the research institute that ran the Kalo project. So it really seems like Siri should have stuck, right? They did miss that Siri spelled S-H-I-R-I. Meant butt in Japanese. It's not exactly the same word, but the pronunciations are super close.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Shitty.
It was all a big surprise that Apple decided to keep the original Siri name for its launch as part of the iOS. There were other candidates that were they had leading up to the final weeks, but he didn't say what any of those other potential names could have been. I would like to know what didn't make the cut.
Well, it's interesting because I understand the logic of trying to pick a name that doesn't sound like another word.
Yeah.
So that you don't constantly have this thing mistaking other words for its, you know, being called.
Right.
So Siri is the only other Siri that I ever knew was, didn't Tom Cruise have like an adopted daughter named Siri? Wasn't that?
I think so.
Something like that or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the only one that I've ever heard of, or Suri, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. But I like that it means butt in Japanese.
Yeah. He's a hero butt. I have a question for Butt. Dear Shelly, I know this question won't translate well via the radio, but what the heck does the back of the White House look like? Signed, Marissa.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I can describe this because there's only kind of a back. There's a North Lawn and a South Lawn. And because the address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the North Lawn faces that. So the South Lawn gets called the back, I guess.
Okay.
President Trump uses the back door a lot. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying that he must like it in the rear of the White House because he addresses the media out there a lot. So that maybe it's the media who like it in the rear.
Yes.
Either way, there is lots of video of him talking to the reporters out back. It's a big lawn with the house, the white pillars behind it.
Sure.
It looks essentially the same as the front, slightly different, mm-hmm. but essentially the same. The fountain is further out. There are some trees. There's a road, a guard booth. The Rose Garden is out back, too. So anything you see from the Rose Garden is from that. You actually probably see the back a lot more than the front.
I think you do. Because they almost never have a press conference in the front.
Well, there's not really any room. The backyard is like the huge, like
tremendous.
If you look at just the block. Mm-hmm. As like an overhead map, the backyard is where, I mean, there's a big circle of road back there, guard stations and everything. So, yeah, it's much, much bigger from the back, from behind.
You're so much larger from the back. okay, so these are all, these are.
Top right corner will probably show you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks
the National
that looks
Mall and all that
like,
stuff.
Yeah.
There's the ellipse. There's the actual White House.
Yeah. See how much
that's
bigger?
That's the front yard.
Yeah. And then the backyard is everything else.
Yeah. So almost all the time when you see the president outdoors, it's out back.
It's in the backyard. Yeah. That's where they have everything set up.
Mm-hmm. Makes more sense. All right. And then finally this, dear Shelly, you know the sticky type stuff? We call them boogers at work. That sticky stuff they put on mailers to keep them closed, does that stuff have to be removed before putting paper in a recycle bin? I'm kind of anal about recycling, so I do remove all the boogers, but it would make my life easier if I didn't have to. Thanks for trying to make my life better. Signed, Chrissy.
Those boogers are actually called booger glue.
Really? It really is booger glue?
Or easily removable fugitive hot melt glue. Booger glue, fugitive hot melt, also credit card glue, is a low-tech adhesive that produces a removable, non-permanent bond with no oil stains. They're generally water-based and non-hazardous, that according to the Amazon ad for the glue. Nice. According to ScienceDirect.com, adhesives present when waste paper is recycled lead to the formation of stickies, which affect the whole of the recycling operation, from the reprocessing of fibers to converting and finishing of the waste fiber product. Okay. However, Recycle Nation says it is recyclable. So I don't really have a definitive answer, and I can't make your life any easier, but I have always kind of liked picking that glue off of things and rolling it up and playing with it. So if you like being anal about it, keep doing it and know you're doing some good for the world.
Nice. That brings up a really important thing, though, is about throwing things in the recycle that has crap on it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it. It gums up the machines, and they have to stop and stuff. That's why they don't want the pizza boxes.
Yeah.
Even though you feel like a jerk throwing away a pizza box because it's all cardboard, but if it's all oiled up and it mucks up the machinery, they don't want it. So anything that you put in the recycle has got to be cleaned up to a degree, is the way it sounds. I don't think they can handle a lot of this stuff. It's like, it always bugs me. It's like putting jars in the dishwasher or rinsing them out or whatever it is. I think to myself, now, am I wasting more energy than I am gaining by cleaning this before it goes back to recycling?
Jim Gaffigan has a bit about washing the trash before taking it out.
Yes.
Yeah. But then I've also heard you don't have to wash things out. So,
well, that's good. Well, then that would be good to know.
Who knows?
That would be good to know. I know around here the thing with the paper goods is they definitely don't want dirty paper goods.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it screws up the machinery. Hey, if you have a question for Shelly, send it to Shelly@FM99.com. It's Ask Shelly. We do it on Mondays at right around this time.